From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week my guest is guitarist Charlie Hitchcock from the early wave electronic act Particle. Hitchcock was instrumental in Particle's big 2004 release, Launchpad, which the AP named one of the top 10 albums of the year, and ushered in a generation of acts blending rock, funk, and jazz with the sounds and styles of house and trance DJs. Hitchcock left the band in 2005, but has returned for a string of shows celebrating the band's 10th anniversary. Let's get to the interview. You're a highly skilled guitarist. I have to imagine you come from a background in fundamental classical or jazz training.
Jazz is what I really kind of put the most effort into. The classical I dabbled in, but it's such a huge thing that I figured I'd go with the next lower thing as far as skill level required to do it, and did the jazz, which is a lot of work, and I'm constantly working on that. So that's the thing I always practice, like, kind of secretly, but I'm not always playing jazz. I'm playing all different styles of music. So
sure. Did you take a training, or did you go to school for music?
I went to UCSB and studied as much music there as I could, but I didn't get a degree in music.
Okay.
I kind of made my own little music school and just locked myself away and was practicing like 10, 11, 12 hours a day for a little while there. Probably made a lot of ground there when doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you by chance remember what your first experiences were with electronic music and maybe how you first felt about it?
Yeah, I used to go to clubs and see, you know, DJs and do the Moon Tribes, and had some friends that were in the industry, and I actually did a record on Imperial Dub a long time ago that DJs were playing, and I was into that scene. I just, you know, go see all that stuff, but I thought it'd be more interesting if there was also live instruments involved, and was kind of something I always wanted to do. And then the Particle thing just kind of happened many years later, and it was kind of in the vein of what I always kind of thought would be cool, a cool thing to do.
Right. Well, tell me about some of those projects you were involved with before Particle.
It was just a record, a one-off record I did with a buddy of mine, Scott Clausen, and this other DJ, Jesse Brooks, was involved with it too. And it was just like a recording project, and we pressed some vinyl, and it was on an Imperial Dub label. And it was, you know, just basically house music back, you know, in the, I guess it was like mid-90s, mid-late 90s when we did that.
Were you involved just with the guitar work, or were you also involved with producing beats, or maybe the complete package as opposed to just doing some featured guitar work on there?
We would just kind of get together and jam, and I was doing all the guitar mostly, and he would do, you know, most of the beats, and he had another DJ working with us. He was doing a lot of the stuff, so I was, yeah, just mostly the guitar stuff I was doing on it.
For those who aren't familiar with Particle, can you tell me a bit about the formation of the band and then how you became involved?
Yeah, it's a keyboard, guitar, bass, and drums, and we kind of play, you know, music that some people could listen to and think wasn't, you know, a live band, more DJ style, but not all of it. We're a little bit eclectic. And I met the guys in LA. I met the drummer and bass player, Darren and Eric, through an ad in the Music Connection. I was like a freelance musician doing, you know, everything I could. And I'd been in LA a short while and met them through that. And we had a different keyboard player. And then I was real busy and I didn't do the first gig for whatever reason. And they had a different guitar player and they did like 6 gigs. And then he passed away tragically. And he was, you know, a killer player. Never met him. And they called, basically, long story short, they called me, and then I was with the band for 5 years and was, you know, fairly successful, fairly fast. You know, everything happened really, really fast with that band. I don't know why, but it did.
Was it always the group's intention to incorporate the electronic sound or DJ aesthetic into your music, or did that sort of evolve more or less organically?
I think it evolved pretty organically. I think some of the best music we made was when we didn't have any specific intentions to do something, just things happened. The title track off of our album, our big album or whatever, our main album, Launchpad, was because there was a DJ playing before us. I think it was DJ Harry, and we didn't want to have the music to stop, so he just kept playing, and then we got up there and joined him and kept playing, and that's kind of how we wrote that. At least the basic idea that song was written was just from a DJ playing before us and us just morphing into us doing our thing.
I'd like to talk about Launchpad in a second, but first tell me about those early particle shows then in LA. What kind of crowds were you attracting, like ravers or the kids that were in the jam scene? And were you playing that sort of DJ style before that happened, or was it more, you know, rock and jazz influenced?
We play a little bit of jazz, but not much. It was, I think we were mostly popular for more of the DJ kind of beats oriented stuff. And we were doing, like, you know, warehouse parties and after parties. And we were like the late night band that would play till, you know, after sunrise.
Sure.
We were kind of known for that. The crowds we were having were kind of mixed crowds. We were definitely mostly in the jam band scene, but there were the rave types there too. We never really played straight raves where it was just only DJs, probably because they weren't really set up to have a live band as far as like the sound equipment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were kind of like the late night bands that would do the late night after parties. So we kind of attracted all those crowds and got well known for that.
Do you feel like you were at the forefront of bringing the electronic music and jam worlds together, or was it an inevitable product of the scene and the natural shift in music over time?
I mean, me for myself, I was always just playing. There's a handful of bands in the scene that do the same kind of stylistic things that we do, and I never felt like we were ever trying to copy anybody, but there were a couple other bands that were doing the similar kind of idea as us, but I think we have our own spin on it. I mean, we're kind of intense. My guitar stuff is more intense than a lot of other bands, where it's more mellow and textural and that kind of thing.
Launchpad, the title track from Particle's 2004 release. So let's talk about Launchpad. It came out in 2004, and it was produced by Tom Rothrock, who had worked with Moby in the past. Were you pushed in a more electronic or genre-bending direction, or did he let you find your own path and let you figure out what you were trying to do instead of sort of pushing you in that, you know, you got to do this DJ stuff direction?
No, he wasn't pushing us to do anything like that. It was more trying to capture what we do live in the studio, which is, for whatever reason, that's really tricky. So we've been playing like so many shows, you know, 200 shows, 150 shows a year, that we were pretty polished in what we were doing. So it was just a matter of getting in the studio and trying to capture as much as that energy and the magic that happens when you're in front of a crowd in a studio where no one's there and it's kind of a stale environment. For whatever reason, you can never really capture the live experience when you're in the studio, but we just did the best we could. And then when you're doing the live thing, you can never capture the quality and all that you can in the studio, and then overdubs and fixing things and all that stuff. So it's always a kind of a trade-off.
Okay. What was the creative process like behind the album? Were you democratically assembling these songs, or were they brought in on an individual basis or by one particular person?
Everything we'd done up till then, or at least that was on that album, was pretty democratic, and us just getting, you know, we wrote all the songs, either jams live or us just getting in our practice room and just playing, and whatever, you know, whatever we played was what happened. I remember we wrote Elevator Like That. It was just us kind of getting in the studio one day in the afternoon and just jamming, and me coming up with melodies and then kind of piecing it together. And we'd record it and listen back and then, you know, kind of piece it together. Steve, I remember, was real involved with the drum beats, though, on some of our recordings. So he's really good with beats. But most of it, yeah, all of that album was democratic, and everyone was involved in their own, you know, on their own instruments with their own parts for the most part. And I think that's the best music that we wrote or did, was when it was all, everyone had their little thing to add to it.
Absolutely. So the album's a huge success. The AP named it one of the top 10 albums of the year. You had an enormous set at Bonnaroo. Was this what you were hoping for? And even more, did you have any idea that this product that you were putting together would take off like this, or did it surprise everyone?
I was surprised that the Associated Press said that. It was like almost someone got paid off or something. I don't know what happened there, since, you know, there's so much great music out there. But yeah, I was definitely grateful for any, you know, anything positive we got in return for what we did. We had a big name, great producer working with us. You know, he'd worked with Beck. He did some of Beck's albums. And so it seemed like everything was lined up to do well. I wasn't expecting anything, but I was, you know, grateful for all the everything we got in return for our work and doing that album.
Elevator from Particle's Launchpad album. Let's wrap things up with Charlie Hitchcock. Would you mind talking about your decision to leave Particle?
I think, as I was saying, the band moved extremely fast, faster than any band I've ever, you know, I've been in a lot of bands in the past, and everything's always slow. There's a lot of bands that have been together more than 10 years and are just inching, you know, year by year, they get a little bit bigger. But with us, it just was like a little rocket ship ride of 0 to 60, and things happened too fast. And I think there were a lot of growing pains and, you know, too much time together. We were rehearsing 10 hours, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, which I don't know any bands that do that. You know, you get in a band not because you want to have another, being a day job, you get in a band because you want to be free and have, you know, time to relax and create. And mm-hmm. We were a lot of, you know, negativity builds up and things start mattering more because there's more at stake, you know, when who's writing the songs, who's in control. When we were starting out, it was all just having fun, and there was nothing to, you know, who wrote the song or who came up with the idea didn't matter, because it was just, you know, music. We just wanted to play. And then when it got bigger, things changed and negativity built up between people. And I don't know, they kicked me out. I didn't want to leave the band, but it definitely wasn't a pleasant experience before that happens, you know. So yeah, I never decided to leave the band. They called a meeting and they said they didn't want me in the band anymore. And that was the only conversation we had.
Okay.
And so now I'm back in the band. There's been about as little conversation of why I've left the band or why they didn't want me in the band as why they want me back. It just kind of happened, and I said I'd do it, and so now we're playing again. It's kind of weird, kind of interesting, but
okay.
So yeah,
I appreciate your candor, and we'll come back to the reunion in a second. But what were you pursuing in the 5 years since you were not with Particle?
I've been just kind of going on the road with different bands. I went on the road with this band Green Lemon for a while. I went on the road with this band On the One for a while. I'm going to festivals and playing with just, you know, different bands. This Pneuma Trio, who's another band that does kind of what Particle does, mm-hmm. electronic music, you know, playing a High Sierra, just random festivals. Then I went to Australia and played out there for a while, and just new experiences. And they were very nice out there. You know, to me out there. And the latest thing I've been doing has been out in China, in Shanghai and playing out there. And I've only done that for like 4 months now. So it's kind of just meeting people and playing with different guys. And then now I'm back in LA and kind of on a little break between doing a bunch of particle shows.
Okay. Now, did you feel there was unfinished business? Is that why you were ready to rejoin, or maybe was it this 10th anniversary run that was enticing? Can you talk about maybe your decision to hop back into it?
Well, we already had done two shows fairly recently because two of our inner circle fans died in a row, totally unrelated, and they wanted to do like a tribute. Two shows to both those guys who passed away.
And that was back in May?
Yeah. And, you know, Steve, the keyboard player, called me and asked me if I wanted to do it and told me why. And I was like, well, you know, you can't really be, you know, selfish when someone loses their life. You know, my little issues are nothing compared to, you know, that. So,
sure.
So I said I'd do it and everything was great. And I was in China and Steve called me again and said, hey, you want to do some more shows? And I was like, well, you know, why not? A lot of the negativity between everybody has healed and the vibe is a lot better and it's a more positive experience than it was when I was playing with them 5 years ago. So
that's great. That's great.
Everything's been cool. Yeah.
Have you had to spend a lot of time rehearsing and knocking out the cobwebs, or has it been easy to fall right back into the groove?
Back in like 5 years ago, I was the guy who was pulling to like not rehearse much and take time off and just, you know, keep things loose. And they wanted to rehearse like, you know, 8-10 hours a day, 5 days a week, and just go nuts rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm the guy who wants to rehearse and they don't want to rehearse at all. And we just did like, you know, 2 days rehearsal and that was it. To like, you know, I hadn't played the music in 5 years. So no, we didn't do a lot of rehearsal, but it didn't really matter. I think it was, everything was pretty solid and it was pretty easy to get back in the groove for me at least.
Muscle memory.
Yeah.
And so you're doing a Halloween run through Colorado then?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, the Fox and
yeah, we're playing Crested Butte and we're playing Fort Collins and we're playing Breckenridge.
Okay. All right. And can we expect to see more Particle with Charlie Hitchcock, perhaps more shows or a new album, or are you taking it slow right now?
It's pretty slow. Yeah. I don't know. You know, we haven't really talked about much stuff. There's probably a lot of stuff that we need to talk about. And we haven't. We're doing three more shows though. After the Colorado run, we're going to do LA, Las Vegas and Arizona. And then that's all that we have planned for now.
Okay. Yeah. And finally, I got to ask, what do you think about this new generation of bands inspired by Particle, incorporating both the jam and electronic sounds, and maybe taking it to the next level, bringing laptops and electronic drums into the live setting?
I think it's cool, you know. I mean, whatever you can do to make good music is cool with me, as long as it keeps, you know, some human element to it. If it just goes totally electronic, I think, I personally, my taste is for just to have some dash of humanness in it in whatever way. But I love the blending of the two because there's a lot of things you can't do, you know, that you can do with computers and technology. So that's what I like. I like to combine the two and have a blend of both. That's the flavor that I like.
Perfect. Well, Charlie Hitchcock, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks go to my guest, Charlie Hitchcock. He'll be joining Particle for a 4-day run through Colorado with dates in Crested Butte, Fort Collins, Breckenridge, and a special Pink Floyd Halloween tribute at the Fox in Boulder on the 30th. Congratulations to Arpetrio and Fast Nasty for finishing at the top of the Burn Down the House bracket in the UNS Challenge. The fourth and final bracket is now open for voting in the dubstep and drum and bass category. Go to theUNS.com/theUNSChallenge to vote for your favorite track. The top two finishers move on to the final round. Thanks to a killer remix on the new Gorillaz album and a clutch opening spot for the Pet Shop Boys on their last big tour, Scotland's 18-year-old chip-step phenom Unicorn Kid is blowing up in the UK and in the States. He'll be featured on next week's UNS podcast. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theunst.com. That's ANAND @theunst.com. Catch you next week.